Welcome to episode 48 of Digital Outbox. Hello, good evening, and welcome to another brand new episode. Joining me tonight is Henry.
Hello there.
Hello. And Christopher.
Hello. You're going to enjoy listening to your hello back then, because it was probably the weirdest we've ever had.
I think it was definitely the weirdest we've ever had.
As I said it, I thought that's
it just
not
came
right.
out weird.
Yeah.
You've been listening to David Cameron too much over the last week, I think.
Well, there's nothing else to listen to.
Plastic face.
It's either him or Clegg just kind of kissing each other. It's just all
that's
wrong.
That's quite sweet though, isn't it?
It's not, it's wrong.
Until
wrong.
The media
wrong.
Are going to get between them.
Anyway.
It's great that we finally got a left-wing government, though. I'm really pleased.
Oh, don't make me bite. Honestly. I guess the only thing I've got to mention is a big thanks to the Glasgow Mac User Group last week for inviting us along.
Indeed. How did it go? How was it?
It went okay, I think. I guess it would be wrong of me to say it went well.
that's very true. I think we need some feedback, probably.
It was good meeting the guys. So big thanks to Steve for inviting us along. And I guess the only issue I had was my MacBook failed to work.
Never.
I just found out there was a couple of ironic bits. The fact that my Mac let me down and Macs never break. And the second thing was I'm in the Apple store and nobody can help me. So...
I'm sure no experts on hand.
Yeah, it was basically, I just borrowed one of their Macs instead because I had the presentation on Dropbox. So another great advert for Dropbox. But basically, I'd put a new battery in my MacBook and I had to reset some PRAM nonsense on the MacBook itself, which failed me when I was there. But when I got home, reset it, and it's all working fine now.
And I guess we're going to cover this later, but you got your hands on an iPad.
I did get my hands on an iPad, and yes, I will cover it later. I sound weird again. It's a day of feeling weird, I think, or sounding weird. And I'm making faux pas. Anyway, let's start. I'm just going to throw every story to you guys, and I'm just going to sit quiet in the background and play Angry Birds.
You won't manage that.
Be careful what you tweet, Christopher.
Yes, I mean, definitely be careful what you tweet, especially if you're going to get fined for doing what most would consider just a bit of a lighthearted statement.
What was the statement, Chris?
Well, it wasn't me that made it. Now, this is a follow-up to a previous story that we've had where some chap tweeted about Robin Hood Airport saying that it was closed, but they've got 1 week to open it or I'm going to blow it sky high, ! And it got reported to the police, and the police took action. And now the guy has had to pay fines of £385 and court costs of £600 for, I don't know what do they officially term it? A dangerous tweet or something? Dangerous communications?
But also the guy's lost his job over this as well.
It's
completely crazy.
No, quite right. You see, you got to be careful what you tweet. You can't just be going around just, you know. I mean, that's the thing. People think just because they're online, they can say what they like. I mean, If you were in the airport and you say, you know, yeah, you know, if you've got a bomb in your bag and you say, oh, yeah, actually, I did. You know, they go ballistic. You know, you can't
I know,
just...
but that makes
you
sense.
You can't say go ballistic on a podcast, but they're going to fine you now.
He was found guilty of sending a menacing electronic communication.
That's it, menacing electronic.
Menacing. We've obviously went back to the dark ages.
I have to say, if you sent an email direct to the airport saying you've got 1 week to open up or I'm going to blow it up, then I can see that differently from someone just posting what is in effect a, you know, it's a shout into the ether, isn't it?
Well, it's 600 people there could have taken that very seriously.
Come
one
on.
Of one of them. Really
yeah, but they're
did,
his friends they... or his followers, you know. If I went out my front door and shouted, you know, blow stuff up, I wouldn't expect to be fined. Or the proportional thing is, don't do that again.
If I think back to my random tweets when I'm in a bad mood, I'm sure I've said things like, I'm going to take lives.
Yeah, and it would just,
and all that
you
kind
know,
of nonsense. Does that mean
comments
that mean
about
the police
how
are going to jail me?
you know, how rubbish things are, or how, you know, I mean, how many tweets have you made about the government? I mean, what, you know,
well,
what
we've
can
got a new government
that?
Now, haven't we? So maybe all this will change.
No, I think these tweets from Ian were about the new government.
Anyway, so be careful what you tweet, people.
It is good consumer advice. Don't use Twitter.
I just think it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I think he's obviously trying to appeal.
As would I.
Which probably means you'll get fined even more.
And probably get higher costs as well.
Yes. So, Pirate Bay is offline today.
Do we care anymore?
Yeah. How did I get all my good stuff?
I thought it'd gone anyway. Well, you wouldn't do it through Pirate Bay, would you?
Why not?
Because people are watching that heavily.
They're watching everything.
As I may have found out.
Oh, well, we'll come on to that. So, several Hollywood film studios have won an injunction. So, basically, against its bandwidth provider. So, it's not against Pirate Bay itself. They've basically cut off access to internet. They're confident they'll get back online fairly quickly because the servers itself haven't been tampered with or touched. It's just purely they've lost internet, not paid their bills. Well, not really. They've just been taken offline.
So what's the latest? I mean, I can't even remember where we got to on this. You know, they had the court case against them. They got fined
They're still not paid the money from that court or the fines from that court case. Right. Which, and I don't know if they were going to appeal or what. So, that's
so we don't know the latest, but they are now offline temporarily.
They're offline just now, and I reckon they'll be back on at some point. And as you said, I think if somebody's really looking to download a torrent, there are better sources than Pirate Bay.
Yes.
Yes. As it sounds like you've found out.
That's ages ago now.
Oh, okay.
I'm still not going to broadcast it out live.
I'll just edit that whole section out then. Eh? moving on swiftly, we have a number of Android-related stories. So Android OS pulls ahead of the iPhone and smartphone market.
Yes. I didn't see it coming, but apparently it's happened. The iPhone has slipped into third place with 21% of the market. Now, I, having not put this story in, I don't know whether that's actual just month-on-month sales or whether it's actually market share. Is it share?
Well, I think that's current market share.
Current market share, yep.
And I guess that the two things for me that kind of stood out was more RIM's been around for so long, it was always going to take a while to dent the smartphone market, and Android's in so many different phones, it was always going to overtake iPhone as a platform.
We didn't know that it was going to do that. You know, it's clearly successful enough that it.
Oh, but it was always going to.
It's a good alternative.
It was very quickly going to overtake it. If you're selling one iPhone or two different iPhones against selling, you know, 15 to 20 different Android.
Yes, on separate devices. On lots of different networks and things as well.
Yeah.
Isn't that part of you know, the Apple choice is that they don't sell it across multiple different networks?
Oh,
and
no, it is. But
I'm
from my point of view, it's like this was inevitable.
Yeah, and they've only got two devices as well. You know, Apple. So you know, I mean, Android has there's a plethora of devices you've got there.
They're all much of a muchness in certain ways, but I think that's also been impacted by the fact that the new iPhone announcement isn't far away, so that's going to impact sales, and also the iPad itself is probably taking up some sales, there could be maybe a backlash from some of the stuff that's happening between Apple and Adobe and all those other bits.
I think there's stuff happening now with the stuff that us techie geeky bods have been talking about for years about Apple being quite closed and not particularly friendly is now kind of becoming much more in the public domain, and maybe more people are actually taking note of that. They're certainly hearing about it now, which they didn't hear before.
It's in what I'd call it's in the mainstream media now, isn't it? You know, you're seeing the articles in Guardian and the Times and all those kind of things. But from my point of view, just taking on my own personal views, my next phone is very likely to be an Android, and I know that a couple of other people I know are also almost certainly made up their mind that Android is the way they're going to go rather than iPhone.
Yeah, but just going back to the point about mainstream media, I think for the majority of people, it's they don't see what the issues are. you know, around about Apple, Adobe, Android, etc. Just see it as a what's the kind of best phone out there. You know, not really thinking too much about, you know, Androids from Google or you know, Apple's fighting Google or Apple's fighting Adobe or Microsoft's fighting everybody else. Or
I agree with that. I'm just saying, but it has made it into the mainstream media, which means that at least it's a bit higher up there. You know, people know something's happening, even if they don't know what.
Yeah, although I do think, Ian, you're absolutely right. For a huge number of people who just want a phone now, they see the kind of things that these decent phones can do, but they don't want to pay, you know, 100 quid for at least for a new phone, and they don't want to pay 35 quid a month for a contract. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think that's what it's going to come down to. And it always, I mean, I think Shaquille, whenever I talk to him about phones, he always says, I don't know why somebody would go and buy a Samsung right now. And it's like, well, it's cheap.
Yep.
You know, if I go into a shop and it's somebody's telling me to buy this iPhone is 500 quid as pay as you go, or it's 200 quid plus a monthly 35 quid contract, but yep, here's one at 50 quid and we'll give you the same, you know, we'll give you the same minutes for, you know, for half the price. It's like, well, done deal.
And there's also the likes of Quidco and all these kind of cashback sites now where actually, you know, you can get a huge amount of money back for taking out a new contract, yes, with one of these new phones, which you don't, absolutely, get with Apple at all. So
no.
And at the end of the day, quite a lot of people want to buy their phone for being a phone. And if that's the case, then there's not much need for you to have something like an iPhone.
No, absolutely. Well, it's funny. Somebody asked me last week, saying, oh, my husband's been talking to me about getting an iPhone. And she grabbed the phone and started, what's so good about it? And it was one of these things, all the things I would say is good about it, it was just like, ah.
Yeah.
don't want it for that. And I think the biggest seller was Jamie Oliver app. It was like, oh, I quite like that. But I think it was just for her husband to cook with, not her. So.
Yeah, but it has to be said that Android is catching up on all the app front as well, aren't they? People are catching on to that. And so, again, I guess if it does everything that the iPhone does, but on, you know, lesser monthly contracts and cheaper handsets, and in when you read reviews, the latest Android handsets are very compelling, and nicer than the current iPhone. So, you know, things change quite quick, don't they, after a while? Things change quite quick after a while. That's a good statement.
I was just about to say, that doesn't make sense. I'm glad you caught that one.
It didn't make sense of my sake, no.
So, leading into more Android-related stories, Google are now, or have stopped selling the Nexus One direct online. So a fairly significant U-turn, but probably not going to have a big impact, because I don't know how many sales were probably coming from that shop front.
We're certainly in the UK, we're used to buying things from providers, aren't we? And is it on Vodafone? Is that where it sits? I can't remember.
Yeah.
It feels much more natural to go to Vodafone to get the phone rather than direct.
I think Google are realizing that, you know, people do like to try out their phones before they buy one, particularly if they're making a significant investment in one. And remember, they did have those customer service issues at the start.
Definitely.
In the States.
Yep.
But I think the big thing is actually that they just haven't spent any money really promoting that. When you look at how much the advertising goes on the Droid, for instance, for the, what do we call that here? The Motorola?
Milestone.
The Milestone. You know, they spent, you know, huge amounts of money Motorola put into the Droid advertising in the States, and Google just weren't prepared to kind of put the same kind of marketing push behind it.
I think there was an element as well. They had to make sure they weren't seen to be putting in, you know, millions and millions into their own product, because they've got agreements with providers.
If you remember back to when it was launched, and there was a whole other rumour how it was going to be unlocked and available direct and choose your provider, and this was a brand new breakthrough kind of choice. And that never really happened.
Yeah, it's not worked, and really.
I don't know if they've went with that idea of we'll sell it direct and people will come with us, and it's kind of fell on its face or not. We'll never know. You don't know all the kind of background deals that go on. We'll never know as consumers.
No, but
that was an attempt or not.
Yeah, but it is interesting. I mean, Google is such a huge, very strong brand, and even they couldn't do that with the networks and stuff. So it makes it kind of even more remarkable the way Apple managed to launch the iPhone in 2007 and come from nowhere to 21% of the smartphone market in 3 years is actually an amazing achievement.
But Google, it's funny just when you're saying always Google now, it's just the amount of products, the amount of different fronts they're on. It's just almost everybody knows Google, but what do they really do? What do they provide? It's for me, it's almost quite difficult to keep up with all the developments they're doing. I mean, there was a web post yesterday, the day before, and it was 15 services you won't have used on Google, and it was spot on. I'd never used any of them, and a couple of them were actually sounded pretty useful. And it just seemed to be, it's almost like there's so much fragmentation now about different services. And I think that's one of the differences with Google. Apple's very focused on a small set of products, and they always have been. You know, I think that's, if you compare Apple and Microsoft, that's been one of the differences. Microsoft only support a massive area of hardware, and Apple doesn't. It's a different model.
Yep,
certainly is. And so we've also seen that we've had a sneak peek, or some stuff has leaked about the new Android 2.2, which is due out, well, we're not quite sure when, but soon next, called Froyo, which is a bit weird. But it's going to mean that Android devices now come with built-in tethering and also Wi-Fi hotspot support. So it's you know, some pretty good features.
Yeah, I guess with both of them, I just hope the carriers don't block some of these features.
And I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. But again, that's another advantage of having across multiple carriers, is that you can make that choice based on what they lock or what they don't lock, can't you?
I'm just, what was running through my head, because I know tethering was on the iPhone, and people have jailbroken their iPhone to enable it so they get past the kind of carrier blocks. Can you jailbreak the Android in the same way? Or is there just not the need?
I don't think there's the need, because the phone's unlocked anyway, isn't it?
I wasn't sure if the phone was unlocked. I know that basically you can download an app from anywhere, so you don't have the same store restrictions.
I'm pretty much sure Android handsets come unlocked, or they certainly do in majority of cases. But that doesn't mean that the carrier, I guess, you're on can probably still block it. But I would imagine on an open device with an unlocked thing, it'd be hard to not let people get around it.
Mm.
Interesting.
Is this going to be quite a stable platform, or is it going to be a bit up and down?
Froyo. You see, I got that, but I just had to wait until you said it again.
I didn't get it, but I'm glad I left a big blank there, because I think it deserved it.
I crack me up.
There'll be a whole tumbleweed sound effect throughout that whole feature.
That'd be great.
Our final Google story is a little bit of a faux pas. So basically, the Google Street cars that tour around and capture all the images for Google Street View, unbeknownst to Google, over the last 3 years, they have been grabbing unencrypted, or people's information over unencrypted Wi-Fi networks.
Did they say they collected it by accident?
Yes.
Whoops.
Unbeknownst to them. So what they're claiming is it it stems from a bit of code that somebody wrote years ago, and it got caught up in this capturing bit of software that we're running, and unbeknownst to them, they've been capturing this data.
Unbeknownst, we're storing it in a database locally on the car and accidentally downloading that database to our local,
I've got 14 terabytes of people's images, emails and documents here. Where
Which
did that
I
come
accidentally
from?
Stored, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, so I mean, it was part of software. They were thinking that they could actually work out kind of location services based on kind of the information that people were sending from different Wi-Fi hotspots and things, weren't they? That was where they...
Yes. Oh, no, that's what the software did. And,
yeah,
and
that's right.
Was it called Skyhook?
I don't know.
There was a bit of software that they were talking about. So this is the... And I think you could go and register at the website as well. So you could register, instead of using, if you've not got a GPS, Skyhook Wireless. I think that was the one that Apple used. So this is the kind of alternative. If you've not got a GPS system, you can use based on your Wi-Fi network you're using. And I could register this location for this Wi-Fi address so that it would know I'm at home, kind of thing.
Sounds awful like Skynet to me.
Aye. So
I have to say, I wasn't overly bothered when I heard the story that they're storing this information. I mean, it didn't seem overly invasive. Maybe it is.
It's just back to the, you don't know what they're grabbing, you know, and it's...
Well, look,
they don't know what they're grabbing, clearly.
It's unsecured wireless. Who's still using it? Who's still not secured their wireless network?
Loads of people.
You deserve all you get. I'm sorry.
Loads of people. Every time I go to the dentist and I sit there, I always, and fair enough, it's in Studentsville, so there's loads of routers. You know, you fire up the iPhone and there's like 20 routers available.
Well, I'm sorry, you deserve all you get. If people steal your bandwidth or whatever, if you don't secure your network, you really should.
Sorry, but for me in this day and age, the companies have to do a lot better than grabbing 3 years worth of data and then saying we didn't know about it.
Yeah, but if they had told everyone they were grabbing this data or just saying, oh, that's part of it, I just don't see really what the worry is, you know, of collecting SSIDs and the, you know, where they pick them up from.
But it wasn't just collecting SSIDs, collecting data.
It was packets of people's emails and all sorts of things like that. Yeah, it was.
It's not just like here's a random router address and we'll hold that with a location. It was, here's some data that was on that particular, you know, being broadcast or being, you know, transferred at that point in time.
Right, okay. And that's a bit more worrying, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's not just some data to ID a router or ID a computer. It's actual content that has been grabbed. And to be fair,
that seems more sneaky to me.
Yeah, and I think the response has been spot on. You know, so they're going to bring in a third party to review the software at issue and what it did and how it gathered it, and also to confirm the data has been deleted. They'll bring in internal procedures to stop it happening again, and they've also stopped the Street View cars collecting Wi-Fi network data entirely, which I think they would have to do, especially in, I mean, it was found in Germany. Yeah. And the German authorities, as we covered before, have been really strict about Street View.
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of waiting for some lawsuits for this.
Well,
I think Norway said, hang on, let's have it. Is it Norway? One country said, let's have all of the data back you've been collecting because you didn't tell us about that. So all the pictures and stuff.
Stuff.
The thing is, though, who are they going to give it to? It's like, I'd probably trust Google more than the government to look after data.
Yes, give us that data which you have legally gathered.
I mean, at least Google's just illegally gathered it, but they seem to hang on to it a bit better than the government, who seems to give it away willy-nilly to whoever.
We'll leave it on a thumb.
Leaves it on the train or whatever, I don't know. Anyway,
moving on. UK iPad prices and tariffs. Now, I've said the title, even because Shaquille put this in the show notes, which clearly meant to me I hadn't listened to last week's podcast when we covered this.
Because I'm sure definitely. This is covered.
No,
we
definitely did have it in last week's podcast.
Yes. So thanks for that, Shaquille. Thanks for all the show note contributions. Pity you couldn't make it.
The Guardian has expanded on this article a little bit, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, so they've just tried to do a best for light usage, best for heavy usage, all that kind of good stuff. And it's fairly... I guess it's fairly much common sense. Best for like a regular 3G usage was Orange 5p a meg, pay as you go tariff. You know, best for regular 3G usage, Orange pay monthly, 15 quid for 3 gig, and so on.
Yeah, basically, if you don't want Wi-Fi hotspots, go with Orange. If you do want Wi-Fi hotspots, go with O2. Don't go with Vodafone.
Vodafone, no.
Because it's just not worth it.
No. And I also noticed a little sneaky Vodafone story today, just when I came home, saying that they're increasing the cost if you're abroad and using data.
That is really bad.
And I think it was at 4 times the cost that they're introducing.
400% it will be. 400% for reasonable. Yeah, 4 times the cost.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I've just realised that as well. Thanks. So, but yeah, that's a sneaky one just to slip in. Yeah, do the math indeed. But 400%.
Shock horror. I was going to say shock horror. There's. Someone's got a prediction wrong. Who never gets predictions wrong?
Yeah, I was predicting. I have to confess that I was predicting a network subsidized iPad, but it's just looking increasingly unlikely. In fact, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen at all. And I think it's just because Apple aren't letting these devices out of their sights.
You're rubbish at this prediction, Lark.
Oh yeah, okay. I wasn't that one.
So I played with an iPad last week.
Ah yes.
Are you in love? Well, Shaquille played with an iPad last week as well.
Is he in love?
We've not pre-ordered one.
No, you haven't pre-ordered one. And in fact, I seem to remember you saying you definitely wouldn't buy one on launch day.
We have taken a day off and we might turn up at an Apple store. and hand over
you have
some
taken
cash.
A day off work and on launch day. Well, in fact, we don't even know what launch day is, but I'm sure you'll probably take the week off.
Well, I'm assuming launch day is still 28th. I could say that I'm taking the day off to go to the Apple store, or because I've got a golf outing that afternoon, I'm just going to, you know, prepare. So we'll see
what happens. Prepare by buying an iPad.
I was very impressed with the iPad, it must be said. Very, very impressed. And I guess it ties up with all the comments that, you know, speed-wise was just, it was very, super very slick. Fast. Yes. And not even just in comparison to like an iPhone, you know, and obviously it was faster than the iPhone, but the whole using it just made so much more sense, you know, and browsing the internet was really, really nice on it.
So I guess my questions are, you know, having had your hands on it, and okay, it's fast and it's nice and slick, can you see your usage for it?
Yeah.
Or is certainly. It just a desirable thing?
Well, certainly around the house, I can see me. So, and I guess maybe I'm a different. I've got an iMac and I've got a MacBook Pro. And I think the MacBook Pro is going to get sold and I'm going to use an iPad instead. It won't replace everything, but most of the time I've got to hold my hands up, I'm using the iMac. A lot of the time the MacBook Pro is just for surfing.
Yeah, so then what's the point?
So that's the kind of call that I'm making. Yeah. And I just see the benefits of things like, you know, iBooks and digital comics, and there's a whole load of other things that I'm going to get as a plus point that I'm not doing right now. I could do, but it's just not as good an interface on the laptop screen.
Mm. Yeah, so I guess if you're stuck for usage, you can also, I guess you can download Copilot Live for the iPad, which is surely going to be the biggest sat-nav device ever created.
Seriously? I mean,
stick that sucker on your windscreen and you'll get to your destination after crashing into everything on the way. Yeah. How brilliant.
I did notice that Copilot's dropped in price to £20.
Has it?
Yeah.
It was only ever 25 or 26 or something, so that's not a huge drop.
Well, shoot me down for trying to save somebody £6.
Okay, very good. No, really, if you haven't got it already, it's a very good GPS, and if it's not been one of our picks, it really should have been, because it's brilliant.
Yeah, we've raved over it. I mean, it's my probably most used app on my iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we did it as a kind of joint pick one time, or you did it as a pick and I contributed, or vice versa. Couple of times it's, you know, got a little bit confused, but then very quickly got back on top.
Recently it's been stumbling a little bit, but you have to kind of, you can recognize its bad points or whatever. It's,
yeah,
for the price, you just definitely can't beat it
unless you've got an Android phone. Then you can get one for
you
free.
Can beat it for free. Yeah, okay, fair enough. And in fact, probably most Nokias now as well, the Ovi store,
the Nokia one's free as well. And just when we're talking about price, I noticed one of our Xbox friends had posted up a link tonight to Apple approved routes to an iPad discount. So if you're still thinking about buying an iPad and you think the price is a bit ouch, this article, we'll put a link in the show notes. It's just pointing out things like several professions are awarded discounts by Apple. You know, so if you're a student, teacher, lecturer, you can get some, you know, or if you're working in education, you'll get an up to 14% discount. Government employees, civil servants, and some jobs in media also qualify. And it also mentions employees of non-profit organisations, and bizarrely, my firm as well, which I found out at Christmas. So
we're an organisation, aren't we? And we're not for profit.
Which reminds me, and I have to tell the story now, and I know it's a bit of digression, but it reminds me many moons ago that I run a shares club at work, and the guy who was acting as treasurer wrote off to Inland and Revenue and said, surely we can be registered as a charity so we don't need to pay any tax. And I had to applaud him for the audacity of it.
Did they write him a nice letter back?
They did. I thought the best bit was our club name at the time was the Workers Against Tax Investment Club.
So it was.
I'm sure that all went down very well. But so that's definitely something to, even if you just, if you're going to turn up and, you know, even ask, just say, can I get a discount on this? You know, I work for X, and you never know. That could take quite a chunk off. Refurb store was also mentioned, but I don't think there'll be many in the refurb store at the moment. And a couple of things I hadn't heard of before. You can trade in your old kit. It's not heavily publicised, but Apple offers a 10% discount when trading in an old iPod or iPhone. Now,
really?
Yeah. Now, and the bit that's kind of bizarre for me is that I'll probably get more selling on my iPhone. But I guess if you've got a really battered, broken iPhone, then who knows? As yet, it's unclear how this works with iPads, since they have yet to go on sale in the UK. How it's worth checking Apple's terms and conditions, as well as its recycling policy, because they often offer incentives for handing over old kit. So, definitely one I hadn't heard of before. So anyway, the intention at the moment is we will be, or I'm saying we as if we're like married.
You're trying to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, but
I will.
I will be buying an iPad.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Many, many a time.
Yeah, get a grip.
Well, what a surprise. I'm amazed.
One story that caught my eye last week was getting your ebook in the iBook store. So if you've ever used or you've heard of a website called Lulu before, it was a whole, you know, write a book and they'll publish a short run of your book, and you can actually have a physical book that you can then go in and sell. They've now done a deal with Apple and are now a certified aggregator, which is a great name, and they'll allow you to publish your book to the iBook store, which I thought was pretty phenomenal.
So anyone can write a book and have it published, yeah?
Yeah, and it'll appear in
iBook. Does it not even have to be good?
Well, I'm thinking in the same way that our podcast can appear in the iTunes store right now. Restrictions didn't seem that much. Must be a valid EPUB file and have an ISDN number, and Lulu will do both for you for free. Pricing is 80% of profit after Apple's cut. So in $9.99 book, you'll receive $5.60.
So there's a fair chunk gone anyway.
Yes.
So can you actually do that kind of thing directly with Apple? Do you have to go through Lulu?
Well,
can you convert to an EPUB file yourself?
You can convert to an EPUB file yourself, and you can add it in directly in iTunes, but I don't think you can get, and that's you adding it manually, but I don't think you can get your book out in front of basically anybody with an iPad or anybody that's got iBooks, remembering it's coming to iPhone, without going through either one of the big content providers or something like this.
I think at the moment it's deals for publishers, isn't it?
Yeah. And
they don't want to be dealing with the minutiae.
I just can't get over, in the same way that we can, put our content on an iTunes store and it can be in front of anybody. This is pretty, I don't know, just that kind of stuff blows my mind.
So why don't we, the thing is though, they're taking 20% as well, aren't they, Lulu?
Yes.
I'm thinking, why don't the three of us set up a publishing house and take 20% of whatever anybody wants to publish?
I mean, we could be Lala.
We could be Lala.
We could be Lala.
Some of us already are. I think that's been said.
Well, I think Chris is Dipsy definitely Poe.
Dipsy and Poe Publishing.
Well, I guess there's nothing to stop us, is there? I think it's just Lulu's got it's got a kind of market share, and it has got a very slick set of software. I thought it was great. Obviously, you guys don't.
I'm just looking at Apple charging $9.99 and the.
Yeah,
and
but if I did a deal with a publisher, how much would I get out of it?
No, you'd get 10%. I know, you'd get less, 10-40% maybe.
That's what I'm looking at. It's all right looking at the cuts, and it's a bit like back to the App Store. And I know there's been a little groundswell recently of people starting to grumble about Apple's 30% on a very successful App Store must rake them in a fortune. But it's, how else do I get in front of 20 million people?
Well, exactly. Nearly 100 million, actually.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, you're... Yeah.
And that's the same with this thing. How do I get my book in front of that many people?
There's a difference, though, between, say, a book at $9.99 isn't a throwaway price like a 59p app.
No, it's not. But if you've always had that lifelong ambition to publish a book...
Oh, yeah. I mean, the ability to do it is fine. I mean, but I think people are going to be more wary about just trying your book out if it's going to cost them $10 each time.
I'm looking forward to your book already, Chris.
It's going to be exciting.
Moving on to something that's very exciting. BT is extending their broadband rollout.
Woohoo!
So they're basically investing another £1 billion
1 billion.
It's fibre services, and often it speeds up to 40 megabits per second. It was due to reach 40% of the population by 2012. They're now saying it will reach out to another 20% by 2015.
Fingers crossed outside of big towns and cities. Please. Please.
You'll be still stuck on your...
Yeah, because
the haves and have-nots.
Yeah, no, and it's very true. We've covered it time and again in the podcast.
But I'm pretty well off, actually. I mean, after having talked to certain other people, I have more than a 1 megabyte connection.
Yeah, well, there's quite a few people I know at work, and I don't just mean in Glasgow, but you know, there's lots of places in the outskirts of Glasgow just don't have very much at all. And it's the same down south, you know, people outside Bristol. You know,
I hope BT, I mean, you know, no disrespect, but I hope BT forgets about them. Come on, I want some here.
But it's good to see at least something happening. It's just, it sounds so long away, but 2015.
I know, it seems like broadband initially, I guess, because it could go down the phone network, you know, it seemed to roll out really quick, didn't it?
Yes.
Now they've got to the point where they need to actually put infrastructure in, which is the bit that takes time.
Yeah, and as I've said before, I've got the infrastructure here, but there's no way I'm signing up to an 18-month contract with them. And the caps on the downloads were phenomenal. Yeah.
I'd rather see them put all their money into getting the backbone more spread.
One last mention of broadband. Good luck with Sky, Tam.
Has he gone to Sky? Has he?
I'm giving you 6 months.
Then they haven't got a fair usage, have they?
Nope.
I feel sorry for all the people in his area, though.
What, just because it's Tam or because he's downloading lots?
Just because they ain't going to get to see anything. They'll be like the end of the tap, you know, when you turn it on, it's just dripping little bits out every now and again.
At the same time, a surprise announcement, they've invested in OnLive.
I know, what is all that about? This thing that we said is never going to work and never going to come to fruition.
That's right.
And BT's invested in it. Well done, BT. So BT's taking a 2.6% stake in OnLive.
I'm impressed that they can pick the duffers like this. So no other company in history has been able to pick such, you know, bad choices of companies to invest in. It's shocking. Never mind.
I mean, they say they've been testing it all across, you know, Wales.
So OnLive is cloud gaming. Covered it before. We've been very skeptical about it. It's going through some beta testing at the moment. Still not out into an actual paid for product.
Which says it all, really.
Yes. Now, I guess that it was the techs. Secretly, OnLive has been operating a test site in Europe from a BT data centre in Wales since 2009. And I'm happy to report that over the European internet infrastructure, OnLive is awesome!
Awesome!
Dude! We've tested OnLive across all of Western Europe, spanning from the UK to Italy and from Scandinavia down to Spain. I call bull on this, because I know even when we're doing our Xbox Live gaming, you know, as soon as we pull in a couple of the kind of European guys, it really starts to degrade and you start to notice a bit of lag. So I don't know how they think they can do this.
I guess if Project Natal's coming out and that's got lag just between you and the little camera and your box,
exactly.
Maybe we're just going to go into an era of lag gaming.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll just be playing the games from yesterday, you know. You just switch on and you'll be doing your...
You'll guess when you need to turn left and right.
The thing is, Pong would still be unplayable with us. That's the bit I don't get. I'd still be behind.
It'll definitely work for non-time, you know, time... critical,
yeah, but so many games.
No, I think they're just testing. They're only testing things like chess.
Yes, it's awesome.
Words with friends.
But the thing is, one of their test games was Wipeout.
Burnout.
No, Burnout was a Wipeout, not Wipeout. Burnout.
Yeah.
There's
Burnout. There's Crysis. There's been quite a few big titles, and that's a bit that you just think. Surely they couldn't be getting so much, you know, money, investment, press if this was total hokum.
But then again, for something that's been around for so long, it's still in secret tests, and I wonder why it's still officially called secret tests.
Yes.
Because so it's rubbish.
US service should be up and running this year, and once that's up and running, there'll be more info about the UK. It's not going to be exclusive to BT, so it is a
They'll be offering discounts, won't they?
I'm guessing that's what it'll be. That they might be, you know, you maybe be able to get it with their first, but there'll be other routes in for other providers. And it's BT are still saying later this year, but I'm sure we said that about getting, you know, TV over Xbox and all of the things. It took many moons.
Clearly, whoever's selling the product to these companies is able to do a very dramatic sales pitch.
Exactly.
I mean, the thing is, I guess it's really easy to sell something if you sell it as it should be, not as it will be.
Yeah, I mean, as a concept, though, I think the thing is, though, it's absolutely amazing, isn't it? I mean, I'd be interested in that kind of thing, actually.
I think we all would.
It's great. But I mean, I just can't see it working.
If I think back to the demo last year, and when everybody saw it, and he was like, I'm on a Mac playing it, and they're like, wow, I'm on a PC playing the same game, wow, what about an iPhone? And he was like, hey, we know you wanted it.
And he also said, oh, well, I'm playing it across the service, even though the server was sat probably about 2 foot away.
Well, it's one of these things. I think you'd need to, for me, I need to see it to believe it.
Yeah,
it just seems so incredible, especially there's a Eurogamer article that debunked it, you know, just by science. Here's the science behind this. Yep. It can't work.
Yeah. He said it is impossible because we can't even do these things for single broadcasting, you know, like high def TV and things like that.
Mm.
Anyway, still, it got further than I ever thought it would.
It has. Our good friends in Electronic Arts.
We love them. We've been weighing all our life for them, eh?
They're bringing in a used games tax. It was talked about last year and they didn't do anything about it, but it's now here. So basically, if you buy an EA game, so Tiger Woods I think is the first one, but I'm guessing any of the Maddens, FIFAs, any of their titles that come out this year, included in the box will be a $10 online pass. So basically to play online, you're paying $10. And you're thinking, well, what's the point of it? Big wow. But it's when you sell the game on. So if I then trade it in, and the next person along buys it second hand, they need to pay $10 to EA to play it online, and so on.
Yeah, so it's basically EA have seen the money that second hand game shops and whatever are getting for the second hand games, and thinking I want a slice of that. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
How can I get that slice? Well, I can do it by crippling the online aspects of a game if someone doesn't have a code.
Yes. And it's no great surprise EA are first, because they're usually the most aggressive in shutting down servers on older games. So it's no great shock.
So I guess it's just retailers now having to make the decision as to whether they, you know, that pretty much you find how much cheaper is a good second-hand game? It's probably about 10 quid cheaper.
Yeah, and that's the problem for me. It's like it's going to take quite a chunk out of that value now.
Well, you might as well just buy the new game again.
Yeah.
So I guess it's going to have to be up to retailers to chop that price, the extra price.
But I guess it means trading's instantly a lot less value as well.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you only get a quid or two for second-hand games generally anyway, don't you?
Well, just it depends. Some of the newer ones you're getting maybe 10, 15 quid.
But you see, that's where the retailers of the second-hand games are making much more money on those than they'll ever make on the new games.
Exactly.
So they've had an incentive for a long time to sell second-hand games. Well, of course, GameStation, that's their whole business model.
Yes. I mean, I know they're selling new games, but they're big. Even, I mean, a lot of the shops you go into, it's almost in your face now. It's like, by the way, I know there's all this new stuff, but look here. Look at this stuff we make more money on. And it's cheaper.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing. That's what they're really pushing for.
I can see why EA have done it. I don't like it. I mean, their game should be selling the best game they can for the price they can. So I don't know. Doesn't sound good to me.
I'm not really fussed, I don't think, is my stunning conclusion. I think it's devalued. And I guess it's just me. I'm dead lazy at trading things in. See, if I was a guy that was trading all the time, I'd be really peed off at this, because I think there's a whole lot of games that are now going to, I'm not going to get the same value for.
Well, no, a retailer that has to resell on your game that needs a $10 game card, you're not going to get any money for handing that over.
No. No.
So in one swell, we'd be a kind of a crippled the store's ability to do that, really.
Yes.
I suppose that would be just quite interesting to see whether that, you know, how many people actually get the traded games over the new games, and when, whether that's actually there's a reduction to EA in terms of, you know, number of people online, or, you know, the kind of buzz around a game, or that'd be quite interesting to see.
I think it will have an impact, I think, in people playing online. And I can't work out if it's going to be more people retaining the game and hence a much smaller second-hand market. You know, because they're just not getting the trading value anymore. Time will tell. We were swithering about putting this in, but I think we have to because me and Chris are excited.
Yeah, very excited.
Red Dead Redemption's out this Friday or Thursday, depending on where your pre-order comes from.
Since 2 weeks ago when, Ian, I think you mentioned it, I hadn't got a clue what it was.
Mm.
I have since had a quick peek around and got a little bit excited, and then today we've seen reviews coming in, official reviews. And
hot dang great reviews, yes, as well.
Pretty much an all-time great, it seems. Not just a good this year.
No. So I guess go and look at Metacritic, look up Red Dead Redemption and look at some of the, I mean, it's currently averaging 96% in reviews based on 16 critic reviews. And for me, the game style looks like a Grand Theft Auto in cowboy kind of country. And a whole load of what looks like really unique and quite witty takes on what they can do with multiplayer as well.
And so apparently April was a real dire month for gaming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this seems like it's going to... Well, this and Alan Wake seem like they're going to pick things up quite nicely in May.
Yes.
So good for that. Anyway, I'm sure we'll report back once we've had our grubby mitts on it for a bit.
I think next week we'll do a little mini review.
Yep.
And final story is one of Shaq's ones, but I think I would have put it in anyway. Nintendo... announced, I think, a dip in profits last week, and I wouldn't say it's doom and gloom. They're still obviously making a tremendous amount of money, but they did actually say that Apple is the enemy of the future.
I thought they made a loss. I thought this was like the second month in a row they'd made a loss.
Oh, was it? I thought that was just the profits were down.
Maybe I've just over exaggerated.
maybe the pair of us haven't a clue what we're talking about. I think that's more accurate. We've just made stuff up.
That's what most blogs out there do, isn't it?
We don't. I don't think the hosts call each other out during the actual podcast. That's the subtle trick.
We made this rumor up.
Yeah. I'm reading the story, and it doesn't tell you what Apple's the enemy of the future. It's a regime, and Nintendo's scared.
When I first heard this, I was Apple is the enemy of the future. I read it thinking, is that Nintendo actually saying they are the enemy of future progress? But actually, no, they were just saying that they're worried more about Apple than anyone else at the moment.
Well, what's interesting, when the App Store first came out, and I think it was when they started demoing Monkey Ball from Sega, and there was a couple others, and people went to Sony and Nintendo and said, are you worried? And they went, no, it's a phone.
Yep.
And I think if you just see the... I think it's a change in people's perceptions over what that platform can do and what phones can do. It's not just Apple. So get away from the Apple thing. If I now have an Android phone, or I'm sure if I look at the Microsoft phones coming out later this year with Xbox Live baked in, I'm now looking at I don't need to buy a separate mobile device. I'm looking at this is replacing my DS, or it's replacing my PSP.
Yeah, it's a phone and it's a mobile device. So why are we worried? Because we know that mobile devices only have a set number of users anyway, and that games have only a set number of users, so why would we be worried about that kind of phone market? But game and apps have blurred the line between what is, you know, entertainment on the move, isn't it?
Totally. And people are happy paying 200-300, I'm not saying everybody is, but 200-300 quid every year or every 2 years for a new phone, but not so much for a mobile games machine.
No, definitely not. And the mobile games, you know, games for the the DS and whatever cost a lot of money.
They do.
They don't on the iPhone.
They cost a lot more than on the iPhone. Yeah.
And if you look at Grand Theft Auto, comparing it to the DS and iPhone, there's not a lot of difference.
I know. And what's it, fiver, and one's about 30 quid.
Yep. So times are changing.
Yes. They say Sony's not even on their radar anymore, haven't they?
No. But I don't know if that's just being snide.
Probably. We're all for snide comments.
Yaboo. Yeah, okay. You suck.
That's right. Why can't we all just get along? That's what I like to say to all the tech companies.
Sony,
at
the
who? Sony, Adobe, Apple, Nintendo.
We never mentioned, I was so tempted to put in the Adobe thing about their advert with the old We Love Apple. and then just prattling on. But it was just like blah blah blah.
That's pretty much what I heard when I read those.
You know,
stories.
And I read the thing, and I was just like, just give it up. You know, it's just.
Oh, dear.
Not, still, you've managed to mention it, and we're talking about it now.
I know, but there's the amount of money. That, I mean, they bought the full kind of page out of it on Engadget and TechCrunch, and it was like, what you.
It was in national newspapers as well.
Yeah, and I thought, do you really need to advertise this? Maybe they thought they did. I don't know. Just seemed
they're,
a bit well, of a waste.
They're moving into Android now, and they've pretty much said we are going to take Android, and we are going to become big players on that.
Well, so, I think I'm guessing we'll see more at Google I/O, which is this week.
Yep.
They did say that in June it would be available, so I'm guessing we'll start to see demos this week or next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got Flash baked into Google Chrome.
Yeah, there was
Google
supposed
Chrome
to be
OS.
In April,
we still don't
wasn't
know what's going to happen.
The Flash is supposed to be out in April, isn't it? Not for Google, but for the Android OS.
Yeah, for Android and
And so it's and Adobe are just so absolutely brilliant at nailing the dates that they specify, because. You know, they always hit the dates that they say for all their launches.
I just hope Apple do hit the 28th, or else I will cry.
We definitely heard this week that they're not going to, though, haven't they?
Well,
sure, maybe that's rumor and spec.
No, but it's what has come out this week is that if you pre-order now, it's now into June. The guys that have pre-ordered and are in that first pre-order batch get it next week.
Right, okay.
So one of the chaps at work's got his May 28th delivered by.
Right,
and I don't think that's changed. All it is
so it's just for anyone adding to their order pre-orders now.
If I went online and pre-ordered, it's now June 7th
right.
or whatever.
So it's second right. batch, basically.
Second
yeah.
batch, that's right.
So, but what's not clear to me is whether any shops will sell things next week. So, and I'll definitely phone up before I get up at 5 in the morning and head into Glasgow.
Well, Apple Store's going to have a load. We'll have loads of them.
It's just, I think so. I can't see them not. And there's only, how many UKs are 12, 20? Each one's probably going to have a couple of hundred, aren't they?
They're going to have loads. You'll not have a problem getting them from the Glasgow Apple Store. No.
Biggest problem's going to be, do I go for one with 3G in it, just in case?
Just get a MiFi.
Oh, I don't know. It's another device.
Get an Android phone and then you won't need to.
And then you've got the tethering.
What? That sounds sensible until I think, why would I want to take a backward step? Anyway, let's go on to our picks. Chris.
And my pick is all around Flash. And
I know, and that's why I went. That's why I picked you first.
And it's on friv.com. And basically, it is a website with innumerable Flash games. And it's good to while away a bit of time just clicking on them and having a go. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them are fantastic. And all not available on your iPad. But yeah, friv.com. Very good. Have a look.
I'm just there just now. And this, I wish I could remember the address. Can you remember there was one that was all really nicely, cutely designed Flash apps, Flash games? I wish I could remember them. They were gorgeous.
I hardly scratched the surface of that website. There's a good, I don't know how many hundred maybe apps there that I've played a few of them, and most of them are very well presented. There's very few that are badly presented.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to. This was, they were gorgeous. I used to love going there and playing them. I will find it and put it in the show notes just to show that I'm not a total arse or bully. Henry, your pick?
My pick's fishtext.com. Very simply, if you've got to text people abroad quite a bit, it can be really expensive from your mobile. So that does it really cheaply. So it's like a penny or two you kind of charge up, and then there's apps for certainly apps for different mobiles, so you can just text from your from there, and it's really good.
So if you're texting abroad, definitely one to look at.
Yep,
fantastic. I've found what I was looking for. It's Orisinal, Orisinal.
So that's easy to remember then.
Yes. And it's and the website is fairyhalim. fairyhalim.com/orisinal.
Orisinal. You're going to put the link in the show notes,
yeah? But if you go to the site, it's just that they're lovely. They're absolutely gorgeous, and I think they're great. Anyway, my pick which is a bit sneaky, because we could probably have done a what would you call it, a story about this. But Steam for Mac finally came out last week.
Yay!
So I think it's really good it's came out, and obviously it's available for PC already. It's now out for Mac, but the front end was just really annoyingly bad. Just felt really bad.
Is it not
bad
the same as the PC one then?
Probably, but I think that is why it was really annoyingly bad. So rather than making a Mac front end and a Mac client to take advantage of the kind of gorgeousness I've got in my Mac, it just felt like they've spent all this time making a Windows front end.
And the Steam front end on PC is very sort of HTML driven.
And it did annoying things like, it's like, you know, you download a game and you won't know the way a Mac structures. I don't mean to sound condescending, but that's just, you don't know because I've not used one. But it stored the game inside a documents folder. You know, so you're looking at 5 gig of downloads in a documents folder, and they're like, no, that's not how you're supposed to do it. And there's other people, Microsoft do the same. They just make a complete tit of their apps and where they download stuff. And unfortunately, Steam does the same, doesn't give you a choice. But this is my pick, so I shouldn't be too negative. It has 63 games at launch, and Portal on both PC and Mac is free until May 24th. So if you really haven't played Portal and have not experienced the delights of it, it's available for both platforms until May 24th for free.
I'm going to go and grab that for my PC then.
Hence, that's my pick. Honestly, see if you're not into it. If you've never tried gaming before, if you've never ever thought about gaming, play Portal. It is a superb game. Me and Chris both bought it on the Xbox, and we've now both, when he downloads it, we've both downloaded it for free on their computer platforms.
It's my most wanted follow-up game, which they've announced, but there's no sign of it yet.
No, and I don't know if it's going to be this year, but Portal is a great game. Just so simple, well-designed, and graphically quite sharp without being like groundbreaking, but it's the puzzles and the humour, and I loved it. And there's only, what, maybe 4 or 5 hours of gameplay?
Yeah. But you can play that again and again.
But it's a perfect 4 or 5 hours. So highly recommend. One other thing I found, I don't know if it's the same, I'm guessing it is the same for you when you're downloading the PC, Chris, that downloading was very slow.
It can be very slow, yeah.
I think the network was getting hammered, to be honest, because I grabbed it on launch day, and I think, obviously, there was probably thousands of people grabbing it on launch day and taking advantage of the Portal offer. So it was a fair old... I mean,
it does vary, but obviously when you're downloading big games, they're always going to take a while. I mean, games are now generally sort of, you know, 5 gig downloads for the latest ones, so it always feels like it takes a long time. So you just have to be prepared to just leave it going for...
Absolutely. It runs in the background. It'll resume if your PC from your switch is off, so...
I still think that Steam is a fantastic service and something that you should be happy that it's coming to Mac.
Well, I'm delirious because to me it's like it's... When I moved to Mac, I stopped playing games on the computer, if you know what I mean. I went to purely console gaming, and I can see purely Steam bringing me back in.
It's the ease that you can... It's a bit like having an iTunes store, you know.
Absolutely.
It's the ease of which you can browse through and just pick them out.
I know
automatic payments.
I know there's thousands of games available for PC. At launch for Mac, there's 63, because they're not wanting to use emulation. They're wanting people to go, you know, use the core graphics and take best advantage of the platform. So I think, you know, coupled with the Steam platform, which does have, you know, similar things to the Xbox Live platform, very, very exciting. I mean, Civ 4 is available, and I'll probably buy that.
Civ 5's not long away, is it?
No, but I just fancy playing it, and that probably means the end to any productivity on my Mac.
Yes.
So despite all the negative bits, honestly, if you've got a Mac, download Steam and get Portal. And if you've not got it on your PC, download it and get Portal as well, because it's just worth it just to play that game.
Needy.
That's us. Our website is digitaloutbox.com. We'd love you to get in touch. So either via an email, info@digitaloutbox.com, via Twitter or Skype. And we're on both services, we are Digital Outbox. Chris.
My blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk.
I am my blog.
Twitter. Yes, I am my blog. Very deep. I am my Twitter as well. Cheesy UK.
Henry.
Yeah, I'm what am I? I'm,
that's quite
deep. I am.
Am I dancer or human? But I am talkrhubarb.com/WordPress and I'm talkrhubarb on Twitter.
And I must admit, there was people were asking after you after last week's our little talk at the.
Do you know, I was gutted to miss that.
Do you know, I was gutted you missed it as well. my blog, indie.net. I am on Twitter as Shweepa. Thanks for joining us this week. Tune in again soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Job done. I said to Shaggy we'll be done by 8 o'clock and he went, rubbish, you guys never finish on time. But when there's a game of Halo to be played, I will finish on time.
That's what you were thinking about when you went hello at the beginning.
Yeah, I might fix that one.
No fixing necessary.